Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Once Upon a Car, The Fall and Resurrection of America's Big Three Automakers is a business history and reporting-driven account of how General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler moved from industrial dominance to near collapse, and then, in two cases, recovery. Written by New York Times reporter Bill Vlasic, the book focuses on the leadership decisions, cultural habits, and financial pressures that shaped the companies during the years leading up to the 2008 financial crisis and the subsequent restructuring. Rather than presenting a technical industry study, it uses detailed narrative journalism to show how executive behavior, internal politics, and delayed strategic responses affected outcomes. The book is especially concerned with why Ford managed to stabilize earlier than GM and Chrysler, and how bankruptcy became the mechanism through which some of the hardest changes could finally be made. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how long-term managerial habits weakened the Big Three before the crisis. The book argues that the collapse of the American automakers was not caused only by the 2008 recession. It traces deeper structural problems that had accumulated over many years, including denial, internal fragmentation, and a tendency to protect old assumptions about scale, market power, and product strategy. GM is shown as especially vulnerable because its leadership remained convinced that size and brand heritage would be enough to preserve competitiveness. Chrysler appears as a company already strained by ownership changes and strategic uncertainty, while Ford enters the story with severe weaknesses, but also with a greater willingness to confront them. Vlasic's analysis matters because it shifts the explanation away from a single external shock and toward the consequences of managerial inertia. The companies did not simply suffer from bad luck. They had already built cultures that made rapid adaptation difficult. That framing helps explain why some responses came too late and why the crisis exposed problems that had been present for years. Secondly, Alan Mulally and the Ford turnaround as a case study in disciplined leadership. One of the book's central threads is Ford's recovery under Alan Mulally. Vlasic presents Mulally as a leader who brought clarity, candor, and organizational discipline to a company that had been drifting. His insistence on one Ford, one team, one plan, one goal is not treated as a slogan, but as a governance tool that forced executives to align priorities and communicate honestly. The book emphasizes that Ford's turnaround depended not just on better products, but on a change in how decisions were made and discussed. Bill Ford's earlier decision to mortgage assets and build liquidity also becomes a decisive advantage, because it gave Mulally the financial breathing room to avoid the fate that later overtook GM and Chrysler. In this sense, Ford's success is presented as the result of leadership that combined preparation, transparency, and willingness to confront reality. The company's recovery therefore serves as the clearest contrast to the denial and hesitation that characterized its rivals. Thirdly, bankruptcy as a restructuring tool rather than a simple failure, Vlasic gives substantial attention to the role of bankruptcy in the auto industry crisis. The book suggests that for GM and Chrysler, Chapter 11 was not merely the end point of failure, but the only practical mechanism for making changes that normal negotiations could not deliver. The scale of the companies, the complexity of their obligations, and the political power of dealers, unions, creditors, and suppliers made voluntary restructuring extremely difficult. One of the clearest examples is the reduction of dealer networks, which could not be easily done outside bankruptcy court. This makes the book analytically useful because it shows how corporate restructuring can depend on legal architecture as much as on executive intent. Bankruptcy is portrayed as destructive, but also as a forced clearing process that allowed liabilities to be reordered and operations reset. The book does not romanticize this process. Instead, it shows the high cost of delaying hard decisions until no softer option remains. That tension is one of the most important lessons in the narrative. Fourthly, leadership culture and emotional decision-making inside major corporations. A distinctive feature of the book is its focus on the human side of executive decision-making. Vlasic does not reduce the auto crisis to spreadsheets and market share charts. Instead, he reconstructs conversations among CEOs and senior managers to show how pride, loyalty, fear, and habit influenced strategy. This approach highlights the limits of purely rational models of management. The book repeatedly suggests that people in power often defend familiar narratives even when the evidence points in another direction. That dynamic helps explain why warning signs were ignored for so long. It also explains why Mulally's insistence on open discussion was so disruptive it challenged a culture where bad news had often been filtered or softened. The value of this perspective is that it connects corporate outcomes to organizational psychology. Rather than treating leadership as an abstract set of competencies, the book shows that business decisions are shaped by interpersonal trust, status, and the emotional cost of admitting error. That gives the narrative both realism and analytical depth. Lastly, a narrative history of industrial decline that remains useful beyond the auto sector. Although the book is rooted in the American auto industry, its larger value lies in the way it turns a specific industrial crisis into a broader management lesson. Vlasic writes as a journalist, so the book reads as a chronological, heavily reported account rather than a theory-driven business text. That makes it especially accessible to readers who want to understand how large organizations actually behave under pressure. The story of GM, Ford, and Chrysler also has enduring relevance because it captures recurring problems in corporate life: resistance to change, overconfidence in legacy strength, and the difficulty of acting before crisis becomes unavoidable. At the same time, the book is bounded by its publication moment. It focuses on the collapse and immediate recovery period, so it does not fully address later transformations, such as electrification or the current global competition facing the industry. Even so, it stands out because it combines historical explanation with close reporting on executive behavior. That blend makes it more vivid than a conventional business case study and more grounded than a broad industry overview. In conclusion, Once Upon a Car is best suited for readers who want to understand corporate decline and recovery through concrete events rather than abstract management theory. Executives, business students, historians of American industry, and readers interested in leadership during crisis will all find value in it. The book is especially useful for showing how strategy, culture, liquidity, and timing interact when companies face existential pressure. Its practical benefit is that it demonstrates why early acknowledgement of weakness can matter more than public confidence, and why structural change often requires more than incremental adjustment. Intellectually, it offers a detailed case study of how large institutions can become trapped by their own habits, then be forced into change by market reality and legal restructuring. What distinguishes it from many other books in the same genre is its reporterly closeness to decision-making, rather than relying on generalized lessons. Vlasic reconstructs the atmosphere of boardrooms, negotiations, and crisis meetings, making the narrative both specific and broadly instructive. It is one of the more vivid accounts of modern American industrial history because it treats leadership behavior as central to business outcomes, not secondary to them. If you would like to support Bill Vlasic, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.